Today's podcast of In Conversation with God on the Relevant Radio app is brought to you by ScepterPublishers.org. Scepter Publishers brings you the finest in Catholic spiritual reading. For more information, go to ScepterPublishers.org.
Today's reading from In Conversation with God is for April 25th. The topic is St. Mark the Evangelist. Mark, although he had a Roman name, was Jewish by birth, and was also known by his Hebrew name, John. Although not one of the 12 apostles, it is more than likely that he knew Jesus personally. Many ecclesiastical writers see a sort of hidden signature of Mark in his gospel, in the episode of the young man who let go the sheet and fled away at Jesus' arrest in Gethsemane. It may be significant that Mark is the only evangelist who mentions the incident. This tallies with the fact that he was the son of a woman named Mary, who seems to have been a wealthy widow in whose house the first Jerusalem Christians used to meet. According to an ancient tradition, this house was in fact the cenacle, the place where our Lord celebrated the Last Supper and instituted the Blessed Eucharist. Mark was a cousin of St. Barnabas. He traveled with St. Paul on his first missionary journey and was with him at the hour of his death. In Rome, he was also a disciple of St. Peter. In his gospel, he expounded faithfully, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the teaching of the Prince of the Apostles. According to an ancient tradition mentioned by St. Jerome, after the martyrdom of Saints Peter and Paul under the Emperor Nero, St. Mark went to Alexandria, whose church claims him as its evangelizer and first bishop. In the year 825, his relics were transferred from Alexandria to Venice, where he is now venerated as patron of that city. Part 1. St. Mark, St. Peter's co-worker. From his early youth, St. Mark belonged to that group of first Christians of Jerusalem who had lived with Our Lady and the apostles, all of whom he knew well. His mother was one of the first women to provide for Jesus and the 12 out of her own means. Mark was also a cousin of Barnabas, one of the chief figures of those first days, and the man who initiated him in the task of spreading the gospel. Mark went with Paul and Barnabas on their first apostolic journey, but on arriving in Cyprus, he seemingly felt that he was unable to carry on any further, for at that point he left them and went back to Jerusalem. Paul appears to have been quite disgusted at Mark's inconstancy, to the extent that when, later on, Barnabas and he were planning their second journey, Barnabas wanted to bring Mark with them again, but Paul would not hear of it because of the way he had let them down on the previous journey. The argument between Paul and Barnabas waxed so intense that they eventually went their separate ways and undertook separate apostolic missions. About 10 years later, we find Mark in Rome, this time helping Peter, who refers to him as "my son Mark," thereby testifying to a long-standing close relationship. At that time, Mark was acting as an interpreter for the Prince of the Apostles, and this provided him with a privileged vantage point, which we see reflected in the gospel he wrote a few years later. Although St. Mark does not provide us with a record of any of the Master's great discourses, he makes up for it by giving us a particularly vivid description of the events of Jesus' life with his disciples. In his accounts, we find ourselves once more in those little towns on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. We can sense the hubbub of the crowds that follow Jesus. We can almost converse with the inhabitants of those places and can contemplate Christ's wonderful deeds and the spontaneous reactions of the 12. In a word, we find ourselves witnessing the events of the gospel as if we were actually there in the throng. Through his vivid descriptions, the evangelist manages to imprint on our souls something of the irresistible yet reassuring fascination that Jesus exercised on people, and which the apostles themselves experienced in their life with the Master. St. Mark, in effect, gives us a faithful account of St. Peter's most intimate recollections of his Master. With the passage of the years, his memories had not grown dim, but became ever more profound and perceptive, more penetrating and more fond. It can be said that Mark's message is the living mirror of St. Peter's preaching. St. Jerome tells us that Mark, the disciple and interpreter of Peter, wrote down his gospel at the request of the brethren living in Rome, according to what he had heard Peter preach. And Peter himself, having heard it, approved it with his authority to be read in the church. This was, without doubt, Mark's principal mission in life, to transmit Peter's teachings faithfully. What a lot of good he has done right down the centuries. We really have to thank him today for the love he put into his work and for his fidelity to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. His feast is also a good opportunity to consider how well and how lovingly we do our daily gospel reading, which is God's Word directed to us personally. We can also ask ourselves how often we act out the role of the prodigal son, or make our own prayer that prayer of blind Bartimaeus. Domine et videam, Lord, let me see, or the prayer of the leper, Domine, si vis potus me mundare, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. How often have we felt in the depths of our soul that Christ is looking at us and inviting us to follow him more closely, perhaps asking us to overcome a habit that separates us from him, or like faithful disciples, to be more charitable with those we find it difficult to get on with. Part 2. To be good instruments of God, we always have to be ready to make a new beginning. Mark spent a number of years in Rome, where, as well as assisting Peter, we also find him collaborating with Paul in his ministry. So the man for whom Paul could find no use for on his second missionary journey is now a comfort and a faithful companion for him. Later still, around the year 66, the apostle writes to Timothy, Get Mark, and bring him with you, for he is a great help to me. The Cyprus incident, which at the time seemed to loom so large, is now completely forgotten. Rather is it the case now that Paul and Mark are friends and collaborators in the all-important venture of extending Christ's kingdom. It is indeed a great example of how we should never write people off conclusively, and a wonderful lesson, should we ever need one, on how to reconstruct a friendship that appears to have been ruined forever. The Church proposes St. Mark to us today as a model. It can be a great source of hope and consolation to contemplate the life of this holy evangelist, because in spite of our weaknesses, we can trust, like him, in divine grace and in the assistance of our Mother, the Church. Our defeats and our acts of cowardice, be they small or great, have to help us to be more humble, to unite us more closely with Jesus, and to draw from him the strength we find lacking in ourselves. Our imperfections should not cause us to turn away from God or to abandon our apostolic mission, even though at times it may be true that we have failed to respond properly to God's grace, or that we have wavered when we were being relied upon not to. In these and other circumstances, if they occur, we should not be taken aback. Because, as St. Francis de Sales says, there is nothing surprising about the fact that sickness is sick, or that weakness is weak, or that wretchedness is wretched. Nevertheless, detest with all your strength the offense you did to God, and with confidence in His mercy, follow courageously the path of virtue you had forsaken. Failures and acts of cowardice are important, and that is why we turn to our Lord, asking His pardon and help. But precisely because He trusts us, and because we can count on receiving grace anew, we ought to begin again immediately and make up our minds to be more faithful in the future. With our Lord's help, we learn to draw good from our weaknesses, especially when the enemy, who never rests, tries to dishearten us and get us to give up the struggle. Jesus wants us to be His in spite of any previous history of weakness we might have had. Part 3. The Apostolic Mandate. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature, we read in the entrance antiphon of today's Mass. This is the apostolic mandate recorded by St. Mark. Further on, the evangelist, moved by the Holy Spirit, testifies to the fact that this command of Christ was already being fulfilled when he was writing his gospel. The apostles went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that attended it. These are the closing words of his gospel. St. Mark was faithful to the apostolic mandate he had heard so often Peter preach: go into all the world. He himself, personally and through his gospel, was an effective leaven in his own time, as we ought to be too in ours. If in the face of his first reverse he had not reacted humbly and energetically, perhaps we would now not have the treasure of Jesus' words and deeds on which we have so often meditated, and many men and women would never have known through him that Jesus is the Savior of mankind. Mark's mission, like that of the apostles, like the mission of evangelizers of all times, and like the example of every Christian who tries to live up to his or her vocation, was certainly not an easy one, as we can see from his martyrdom. He must have had many wonderful experiences, as well as his fair share of opposition, weariness, and danger in following our Lord's footsteps. We can thank God, and also the men and women of the apostolic age, that the strength and joy of Christ have been handed down to us in our day. But every generation of Christians and every individual is called to receive the gospel message and to pass it on in turn. God's grace is never lacking. Non est abbreviata manus Domine. The Lord's hand is not shortened. In the words of St. Jose Maria, the Christian knows that God works miracles, that He performed them centuries ago, and that He still works them now. Each one of us, with God's help, will work miracles in the souls of relatives, friends, and acquaintances, as long as we remain united to Christ through prayer.
In Conversation with God is based on a 7-book series of the same name. It is produced by Relevant Radio in an exclusive partnership with Scepter Publishers. For more information or to order your own copy of the book, log on to scepterpublishers.org. Scepter is spelled S-C-E-P-T-E-R. That's scepterpublishers.org. This podcast is protected under U.S. copyright laws and is made possible through the generous support of our listeners. To donate, click the Give button on this app right now or visit relevantradio.com. Be sure to join us again tomorrow as we continue the conversation.